Friday, March 27th. The lesson from Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 13 through 18. In those days, Jeremiah said, O Lord, all that forsake thee shall be confounded. They that depart from thee shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the vein of living waters. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. For thou art my praise. Behold, they say to me, Where is the word of the Lord? Let it come. And I am not troubled, following thee for my pastor, and I have not desired the day of man. Thou knowest. That which went out of my lips had been right in thy sight. Be not thou a terror unto me. Thou art my hope in the day of affliction. Let them be confounded that persecute me, and let not me be confounded. Let them be afraid, and let not me be afraid. Bring upon them the day of affliction, and with a double destruction destroy them, O Lord our God. Haydock Commentary. Behold, they say to me, Where is the word of the Lord? Let it come. We have several instances of such impious sarcasm. See Isaiah 28:10 and 24:13, Amos 2:12 and Micah 2:6. Jeremiah was aware of the dangers attending his office, yet not dismayed. Let them be confounded, etc. Such expressions as these in the writings of the prophets are not to be understood as imprecations proceeding from malice or desire of revenge, but as prophetic predictions of evils that were about to fall upon impenitent sinners, and approbations of the ways of the divine justice. The Gospel from John chapter 11, verses 47 through 54. At that time, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered together a council against Jesus and said, What are we doing? For this man is working many signs. If we let him alone as he is, all will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. But one of them, Caiaphas, being high priest that year, said to them, You know nothing at all, nor do you reflect that it is expedient for us that one man die for the people instead of the whole nation perishing. This, however, he said not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus was to die for the nation, and not only for the nation, but that he might gather into one the children of God who were scattered abroad. So from that day forth, their plan was to put him to death. Jesus therefore no longer went about openly among the Jews, but withdrew to the district near the desert, to a town called Ephraim, and there he stayed with his disciples. Haydock Commentary. The chief priests said, What are we doing? As if they had said, Why are we so slow, so remiss, and indolent in our proceedings against this man, when we daily see what numbers he draws after him by his miracles? Caiaphas did not speak of himself, but as the high priest of that year, the spirit of prophecy was given him, and he foretells that Jesus was to lay down his life both for the nation of the Jews and for all mankind. The gift of prophecy itself does not make a man holy. It was also given to the wicked Balaam. See Numbers chapter 24. It is supposed that he exercised the sacrificial office alternately with his father-in-law Annas, who, as we have seen in Luke chapter 2, was also called high priest. How great is the power of the Holy Ghost! From a wicked mind he brings forth the words of prophecy. And how great is the power attached to the pontifical dignity! For Caiaphas, having become high priest, though unworthy of that dignity, prophesies, not knowing indeed what he says. The Holy Ghost makes use of his tongue only, but touches not his sinful heart. So says St. John Chrysostom. The same words have an impious and sacrilegious sense in the intention of the high priest, the enemy of Jesus Christ, and a divine and prophetic sense in the intention of the Holy Ghost. We here behold the privilege of the office and order, though in a wicked person, and as we have the assistance of God for the utterance of truth, which Caiaphas neither meant nor knew, we may rest satisfied that Christ will not leave Peter's chair, whose faith he promises should never fail, though the occupants be as bad as their enemies describe them. Ephraim was a small city or town in the neighborhood of Bethel. Some suppose it to be the same as Ephron, mentioned in 2 Chronicles 13:19 and 1 Maccabees 5:2. Eusebius and St. Jerome say it was situated about 20 miles to the north of Jerusalem. Here he remained with his disciples till the time in which he had resolved to deliver himself up into the hands of his enemies.